We're looking again into our subject, Understanding Grace. We have gone through two different areas concerning grace. We went through the areas of saving grace and the power of God that saved us, caused us to be born again. And we went through the areas we finished up last week with standing grace, really dealing with God's power in the Christian's life so we can live a victorious Christian life. We're looking at these two areas because really dealing with the areas of saving grace and standing grace has to do with us personally. But we're going to go in and begin looking into serving grace. And that's God's ability that is given to us in our life so we can serve God with His ability. And understand that that's really important. Serve God with His ability. You can grow, as we look through this, you can grow in serving grace. When you start off whatever God's called us in our lives to do, you don't just arrive right at the top of where you're at. You learn to grow. In fact, you have to learn to yield. It's like grace. You got to learn to yield to it, whether it's grace for serving God or whatever it is. And you're going to have to learn to yield to that grace. And you can become more effective in yielding to the ability of God to serve Him. So we'll be looking at that. One of the things you can't do as we want to look at this as a fact is you can't ask God to give you a certain serving grace. You can't ask God for that. It doesn't work in that manner. God chooses what He calls a person to do. And it's always very interesting to me because, you know, it isn't like most people think about. You know, it runs counter to our society and how things operate. In the natural, we do things and everything that people do is based on who, you know, if somebody does something, you know, whether education or whatever else, that's going to determine, you know, in life, and people are going to choose people based on what they do. The kingdom of God doesn't operate in that manner. It doesn't work that way. But the church basically operates that way. The church basically operates very much like the world operates. It's who we consider to be the most talented and things have to more natural things than it is spiritual things. And so, but we need to understand God chooses whom He chooses. So we don't have the ability ourselves to pick and choose concerning this area. One of the things you're going to have to do is find out what God wants you to do and what God's anointed you to do. It's something you're going to have because it's a spiritual thing. We're talking about spiritual gifting. It's not physical. It's not mental gifting. It isn't what it is. That's not what it is. It's like we deal from because like say somebody would go naturally to a school to learn how to teach would not make them a teacher for God. That isn't what makes you. You have to, and that's in anything. It doesn't make it what you are because you're talented. Understand this. In the world, God gave man a brain, and it would be nice if people used them, but God gave man mental ability to learn to do things, and men can comprehend and do things and stuff, but that doesn't mean spiritually. We have that thing because, well, a person has a natural talent. Well, specifically, that came from God. Now, we have a thing like in the Old Testament, and I see people try to bring it over to use it, but we need to be very careful. Back when they were building the temple, the Lord told Solomon there were certain people that He had gifted in the areas to do and make certain things for the temple or do certain things in craftsmanship and in working. But we need to understand that was for the work of the ministry. Those guys weren't talented for just their own life to go out and make a living and go out and do their own thing. See, we have today, we have this whole idea, you know, there's people say, well, you know, God has me in the business world and all that stuff. This is my talent. Well, you may be out there working in the business world. God has you there. But if He does, what is it you're using for God? I find most Christian businessmen, the average Christian that isn't a businessman probably gives me lots of times more money and sets more money aside than they do. Say, well, what's their purpose of business if they're just doing business just like the world does business? I'm a good businessman. I'm sorry, that's not enough. What is it that God, if God's called you to something, then it should be where the ministry is somehow of what God's ministry is somehow is in the forefront. Now, I know there's business people. I know one guy that used to, in fact, he was probably, he left the earth today. His last name was Yoder. He was a guy who really supported Brother Hagin very heavily, very rich man and that stuff. He was an Amish guy, and he ended up getting born again, spirit-filled, started off, and business is very wealthy, but even with his death, I mean, he had set things up for his wealth and stuff, is today still going into the ministry, huge amounts of money, because he set up a thing where so much money of his was set aside, and I mean, this guy here, he was focused toward the ministry. And really, we have very little of that. I find many times where people gain wealth, that as they gain wealth, they give a less percentage of their money. Because they think, well, I'm tithing, I'm giving a large amount. But compared to what you have, you give less than what you did before. You take me to a woman who Jesus was watching in the temple, and she walked in and she put two mites in. He said she gave more than everybody. He said she gave all she had. So the guys that tithe did, no matter if they put 10 million in, they didn't give as much to her. See, God looks at percentage of what you do with you have. Not the amount that you think you did really good putting in. He looks in a percentage of what you do with what you have. Well, in gifting, we need to understand, if a person says God's gift them to do a certain thing, how does that enhance God's kingdom? How does that enhance what God does? See, this is just a matter. We got in the American system is, the American system is about money today. And so this is what people think. Well, I give money so that, but hold it. That, how is my life, what God has called me to do, affect? How does it affect the kingdom? Is what is, am I, what am I work for? Is the majority of what I do is for me? Or is it, what's the kingdom? What about that? And see, people have to decide about their lives. There's one of the things is myself, when I got born again and I knew that I was called to the ministry, I knew I didn't have a voice tell me, just inside, I just knew I was called to ministry. Well, when it came to that, I mean, that became my life. It became my life before I was ever in the ministry. That became my life. All my decisions were made about the direction I was going to head. It had nothing to do with money. It had nothing to do with any of that. It's fulfilling the call of God in your life. And too many people, if you ask them, what's the call of God in your life? They don't specifically know. Well, how would you know you're completing the will of God? How do you know? Because I couldn't tell a person unless God told me what they're supposed to do or what they're supposed to be doing. These are things we want to look at because we're talking about serving God with God's ability, not our abilities. God's ability. And we have to really look at this as, well, how, what am I doing? How does it, how does my life fit in furthering the kingdom of God? Is it, see, God's given ability, you know, this world's coming to an end, and, you know, people always say, well, you know, when you die, you can't take it with you. Well, the same people that say that are living like you can. Because people keep living in a manner that this means so much here, you know. It's like, well, you can't take it with. Well, when are you going to change like that? Like you believe that? And there's nothing wrong with having money and wealth, but it still shouldn't be. We should have goals in our Christian life that have been set by whatever God's called us to do in the furtherance of the kingdom of God. And I found this out. I mean, to walk, to follow God, to head toward the ministry. I had Christians constantly trying to pull me off that path. Constantly trying to pull you off that path. Because they want you to go along with what everybody else is doing. You know, what everybody else is. And I didn't. I realized to fulfill God, you know, it's one of the things as I've learned, you know, if you preach the gospel, you're supposed to live by it. And you're not supposed to be a Christian businessman to make money to do the thing. You're supposed to live by the gospel. I mean, that's what the Bible says. Loads of ministers don't. They got stuff running on the side doing all these different things. You're supposed to live by the gospel. Is why? Because there's too much in the church. There's too much that distract us. And I found out I couldn't allow things because things would come along all the time. I had business opportunities. People would come and give you to try to get me off into things. And I'd say, I'm heading for the ministry. So I'm going to keep, I don't want to get distracted. I would say that probably at least half of the people during my time as a Christian that I knew were called to the ministry are not in the ministry and never entered it, yet were called by God. because they got distractions along the way. And they followed those distractions, and they ended up living their lives. That's what they followed. They did. They followed those things. I think all the people told me they were called, God called them to ministry, and never went into the ministry. I mean, just loads and loads of them. Had them pass through our church, numbers of them. You know, God called me to ministry, they never get into ministry. They always get distracted by other things. And this is important because, you know, I think that's a lot of things that people never really have fulfillment in their lives. They're never really happy. They're not as happy as they should be. Because everybody faces lousy things in life. But you can't get lousy with the lousy things in life. You have to keep yourself over where there's something in them that holds you. See, it's one thing of it is, you know, it's like I've said, I've wanted to quit the ministry, a thousand times, and you do it for about 15 minutes. Like, there's inside, I know that I can't. But the whole thing of it is, I kept walking to that direction and I can't think any different. And what's in me is no different. You walk in a different direction and you will train yourself to not think in that direction and you will follow the plan of God. So you have to decide this of what am I called to do? It may not be something easy. I mean, along the way, I just think about the thing serving God may not be an easy thing to do to serve. You know, I mean, when God back in 1986, and well, in fact, it was in the beginning of 87 when he finally talked to me about it. But you know, the Lord, the way God doesn't do things like humans do. God wants us to walk by faith. Much of what we do is not by faith. We do by just because this is what we do in life and do is doing by faith. But you know, I find out with God, you know, I'll never forget in 1986. In fact, it was about the middle of the year. I could pick and choose, like in the department I worked in, I could pick and choose what vacation time I wanted to take. And I used to always take off over, I'd take 2 weeks, Christmas and New Year's. I'd always take that time off. And it was mostly just a family time and that stuff. And just right, it was a good time to take off with all the hassle stuff going on. It was just a good time to take off. And there's things with church and all that kind of stuff and things going on. And so it was always just a good time to take off. And now I wasn't in the ministry. I was working at Reese's at the time. But anyhow, so Wanda came to me and said, the girls and I want to go down to over Christmas and New Year's. We want to go down to Disney World. I didn't want to go to Disney World. She said to me about it. I didn't say no, but what I did is not say anything. Say nothing. But anyhow, I had this habit of, especially in the evening, I would take time and I'd go upstairs to the bedroom and I'd go up and sit and pray. I'd go up and pray and I'd pray and mind my own business. And God spoke to me and said, take your family to Disney World. He said, take them to Disney World. He said, they won't get a vacation like this for a while. That's what he said to me. Well, you know, I'm a lot different than most people are about with God. I said to him, I said, well, that's fine. I said, I'll take them. But I said, you're going to have to supply the money and stuff to go. And I said, I ain't going down there on the cheap. So I said, you're going to have to bring money in. I said, you're going to have to do it. So I sat down with God and I looked at what it was going to cost to do. And I said, well, this is what it costs to go to Disney and doing this stuff. And I said, you know, back then, I wanted to have at least $1,000 of cash just to throw away that you can do whatever you want with. Now at that time, $1,000 was a lot. Today, you go to Disney, $1,000 won't even get you any hotels. But you know, God provided. He turned around what he did and these things. But we did. We went down with money wise and that stuff. The money, the things that came in and that kind of stuff. And I had my one brother had a motorhome, and he came to me and he I'd never even said anything to him. And he said, hey, I heard you're going down to Disney. I said, yeah. He said, well, you want to take my motorhome? He said, we haven't used it this summer. And he said, it's been sitting. He said, it needs to be driven. He said, you want to take a motorhome down? I said, yeah, okay, we'll take it. So we drove the motorhome down. So we went down, had a nice trip, and came back and went back to work, about 2 weeks back to work. And God said to me, I want you to go to Rhema this year. I mean, just as clear, I'm working, minding my own business, and just as clear said to me, I want you to go to Rhema this year. And I said, going to Rhema this year. I said, I'd have known that we wouldn't have spent all that money. He said, that's why I didn't tell you. That's what he told me. I didn't tell you. See, I want to tell you, God wants to put you in a hard spot where you have to believe, learn to trust him, to learn to know him. If you ain't ever been in a hard spot with God and let Him know, you don't really know Him. You don't know how He really acts or what He really does. He's not always trying to make you feel comfortable and nice. And He put me in a place. So I said, number one, I'm going to obey God. He said it, whether I like it or not, it has nothing to do with whether I like it. But we're dealing with the areas of grace because you have to learn to give them. Why? Because there's grace to do all this stuff, but you have to walk by faith in what is not comfortable. So I said, okay, I said, we're going to go. And I said, but I did tell God this. I said, you're going to have to convince Wanda. I'm not going to sit around and try to tell her. And I'm not going to do this. I said, that's your job. And the Lord told me, okay. He did that. Well, it turned around. We ended up going out to Rhema beforehand. They had this what they used to call get acquainted with Rhema. And we went out to it and that stuff. And Wanda went, we went out and Wanda told me while she's out there, she said, I know we're supposed to be here. I know it. So God convinced her. I didn't try to talk her into anything. She didn't really know at the time. I had already put in my application and was accepted. Why? You have to walk the faith. God said, I'm going to let Him. If He don't take care of it, that's His problem. If I don't go, if I do my part, He doesn't do His, I don't have to do it. See, that's faith. That's what walking by faith is. God, you have your part. I'm going to go do mine when it don't even seem like it's working. When nothing seems to be going along. Well, we didn't have a bunch of money. We went and turned around and find out. Well, get out there. You have to get some housing ahead of time. Well, we had all that stuff you had to do. I think it was 3 months you had to pay for ahead. I think it was what we had to. And so we decided we were going to go. So we just went out on a limb. We didn't have money to go. We had $500 in our savings account, and we gave that as an offering to the church. We had zero. We put ourselves in a position with no money to go. I mean, we're only going to Rhema. Like we weren't like, I wasn't like John G. Lake going to Africa and gave all your money away. But I'm going to Rhema, and I gave all my money away. Anyhow, we didn't want it, and I agree. She agreed to it, because we said, down here, $500 ain't enough to do anything. Anyhow, we can't even rent the place we wanted to rent. The place we wanted to rent, they were new apartments, and it was a 3-bedroom apartment. I mean, most people going to Rhema, their families were living in tight places. Nobody's living. And I said, now we're taking our kids. I just made these decisions. I was always like this with God. And I told Him, back when I first got saved, I said, I'll do anything you want me to do, but you got to take care of my family. And I said, I told Wanda, I said, the kids are not going to, because they told you all this, to sacrifice your kids. You know, they're going to have to sacrifice with you. I said, uh-uh. I said, my kids get to take all their stuff. I said, I don't take my stuff. That's one thing. Kids get to take all their stuff. So I said, they're going to take all their stuff. We're moving out there. We're taking all their stuff. So I said, they're going to need their own bedrooms because I got them all their stuff. We don't believe God. Now, I didn't take a second job. I didn't do none of that. I wasn't going to do any such thing. God told me to go. If He can't provide the money, He's not God. See, I got to rely on His ability and not mine. See, most people will start doing things. They'll start writing letters to people. And they'll go tell everybody what God told them to do, hoping that somebody will go, oh, yeah, I've learned this over time. I don't say things to people. I don't go around. You know why? Because when it all comes to pass and works, I know who did it. I know who did it. And so, the church there, the people, we talked to the pastor because we told him we were leaving and things and stuff like that. But we didn't tell people the fact that we didn't have money. We didn't tell people that. But God talked to people, and people started coming and giving us money. So we ended up, money was given to us, and we could, this really nice apartment, we could pay 3 months ahead on that going out. See, that was good. But we didn't have a truck to move our furniture out. And that was $1,200. And we didn't have money for that, much less even gas to put in. We'd had a truck. So we didn't have none of that. But a person came to us and asked about moving out there. And I said, about the truck. And I said, well, we checked, the truck was $1,400. And this lady said, I want to pay for that. I'll pay for the truck. But anyhow, we ended up moving out. We had $6,000 in our pocket and everything paid ahead of time. We even had school paid ahead of time. But not God talked to people. But see, here's one of the things that you find out. This is God's working. It isn't how great Ed is at doing things. This is God working. And see, he didn't put, I would think along, I'd think, oh my God, how are we going to do this one or how are we going to do that one? I'd think, well, I can't, there's nothing I can do about that. I'm going to have to let that alone. But that doesn't mean your mind's happy. That doesn't mean you're like, yee-hee! No, your mind's over here, but inside I thought, well, God put this together. He's going to make this thing work. He said to go. So when we went, it went well. We went and moved. In fact, I can truthfully say this. It was two of the best years of our lives together as a family. It was a great thing. I mean, God did a wonderful thing. God did all kinds of wonderful things for the kids there and that thing. And that was one of these, it was one thing is when we moved back, the Lord spoke to me about it because I said to the Lord about this. I said, you know what? I said, I went to Rhema. I said more about anointing than I did learning. Because I said, a lot of the stuff they talked there, I said, I had all Kenneth Hagin stuff on that, all these tapes and books, and I'd read everything and done all this stuff. And I said, I didn't really learn a lot of new stuff. He said, I didn't send you out there. He said, I wanted you to come to a place that I can send you anywhere and you'll trust me. And so you come to, you know, it's one of the things that you have to find out. Are you going to want to be expanded some? Are you going to want to be, we can really, look, we live in a country, it's easy to get money. It's easy. Look how many people live all the time. I mean, we live in a country where the local governments, the state governments, and the federal governments, and the counties and all, will just do everything to try to get everything into your hands. We live in a country like that. I haven't been in any other ones like that except over in Europe. Where but the rest of the world don't operate like that. They don't have none of that. We do here in America. So it's very easy, you know, because if you don't have money for food, you can always get it somewhere. I mean, you go to the noon meal every day. So one of the ways you, and so, but you get into doing things where God sends you to do stuff. And this is about the grace of God working and putting you in a direction. And there's one thing about it. The more you want to go the distance, it's not going to become easier. It doesn't become easier to go further. It's like anything in life. I mean, going through first grade shouldn't be like going through 12th grade. Might be today, I don't know. Sure. But why is to go further in something, it gets harder to do. There's more you have to sacrifice to go there. And see, the life of faith is really a life of sacrifice. And this is one of the things. You can't please God without faith. And it's going to require faith to walk in God's ability for service. It's going to require it. In fact, I would say this, it's a demand. Because you can't please God without faith. So if you do it by your ability and all your smarts, you won't be walking by faith. You will not please God. You have to go to the place where we get ourselves in situations where we stop and say, you know, I can't myself go beyond this. I'm just going to trust God in this thing. God, you're going to have to work in this thing. And see, I learned to walk in that place, you know, as even while I was in school, when the Lord told me to go down to Peru on a mission trip, and they went, we went to a meeting about the trip. The Lord said, I want you to go. And so I had this meeting about going down. And so what they do is they tell you at the meeting about when you have to have your money in and all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. Then he went, turned around, pulled up these papers. He said, we have these papers here and everybody can have them. You can send letters out to people telling them that you're going on this trip and asking if people want to give money. And I'm sitting right there in the room. And the Lord said, don't you take none of them. Don't you take any of them. Well, I knew what that meant. I'm going to have to trust God. Should I tell you what? And I'm just going to be honest with you. The people that took the papers didn't walk in the faith I did. Now this is not, I'm not bragging. This is just the truth how things work. This is just the truth of how things work. You want to go to the place. I didn't start off there. Wanda and I started off and we thought $20 was a big thing. We started on that. But you have to come to a place, and I realized this as a younger Christian, I was going to have to arrive at a place where something would come up and I would do nothing about it. I would just say, God, I'm going to trust you in this. There's things maybe you need to do, but there's sometimes you hinder things. And this is where you need to grow up to know that. Just, you know, I need to step back. The Lord said to me, don't take those. I said, okay. know, and I can truthfully say this. I got the point. I didn't even bother thinking about it because I thought money don't come. I don't have to go to Peru. I didn't think about, boy, am I going to be able to go? And this, that, I didn't. Well, the money came in. A guy called a couple weeks before we're supposed to have the first payment in. It was about a third of it. And then the rest of it is the last payment you had to have in some amount of period of time. And out of the blue, a guy called me and he said this. I thought it was the strangest thing, but I talked to him on the phone. He said, I heard you go on mission trips sometimes. He goes, in Bible school, are you going on one? And I said to him, well, yeah, I'm going to one. I said, I'm going down to Peru. He said, I want to send you the money, some money. He sent me almost the exact amount that it was for the first payment. I didn't tell him amounts. I didn't say anything. The amount. I didn't say anything to him. I just said, yeah. He said, I want to send you some money. When the money came, it was enough for that payment. But see, another thing it is, it'll help you to know this, that most people don't know. I'm going to tell you something that is a secret that most Christians don't know. God can talk to other people if you give him a chance. You don't have to tell him everything. You don't have to be the TV preacher, you know. God shall supply all my needs because I'm going to tell you what they are. You come to a place. But see, this is one thing I learned in these areas is where God taught me to walk in a higher level of faith. Where you aren't always putting things out where other people are. See, you folks heard me talk about the fact that when the Lord dealt with me, would never allow me to allow anybody else to lay hands or pray for me for healing. Would never allow it. And he one of the things he said I wanted you to come to the place where you knew how to do it so you could tell others how you can do that. See, I don't care what people teach. If they don't have experience in it, they can teach with no conviction, and it is not going to produce much. That's why teaching on healing doesn't produce much today, because we've gotten over so much on this thing of laid back about this stuff. It's not important to us. And we need to get to where we're like, hey, hold it. All this wonderful stuff's in the Bible. I want some of it. I'd like to get a little bit of it. Have some of it. It's to me, I was always like, I want to get some of it. I want to have some of these things. What do you have to do? And I found out, because the reason it's difficult is this, because you're running cross-grain to most thinking of the most of the Christians are around you. I found out that I was almost constantly walking cross-grain with the people of the church I was in. I was walking cross-grain. They didn't like that. And they thought, you know, I was just being weird or I'm being, no, God's talking to me. And see, because they have their church system on how they do things. And God's telling me, now this is the way I want you to do it. God was leading me over to in the areas of trusting Him more. Getting over and trusting Him more in my life. Because when you get over into the areas toward ministry, if you can't trust Him in your life, what's a good chance you're going to have with trusting about others? You're not going to do that. It's going to be hard to do. It's going to be harder and harder to do. I always think about, thank God, I haven't been in ministry like Paul's yet. And it's not like I'm asking for it. I'm not going there. But how do you continue in a ministry like that? You can't do those kinds of things on a just get by Christianity type thing. And say, well, you got to trust God. And it's not always easy because it really runs contrary to us in our flesh. And God constantly, one of the things when we went to Rhema, it's just like saying this is doing something, learning to live out of your heart, following your heart. Let me just say this. It doesn't sound like it's due to grace, but grace works in this stuff. You need to listen, because you need to listen to your own spirit. One of the things at Rhema, because I asked God, when we were at Rhema in school, was probably the best financial situation we'd ever been in our life. We lacked nothing. We had to give away all the time. I mean, we just had money came to us constantly. We lived good there. And, I wondered because I'm going to school and loads of the people ain't doing good. They're not doing well. Well, number one, one of the things I found out was this. Wanda and I learned about giving and walking by faith concerning money before we got there. A lot of people, they went there when they were young and they were still living with mom and dad, or they were being living off of other people, and they were going there and they had never really learned how to live by faith. So it was very much a struggle for them. And you had a lot of other people. They didn't live by faith. They came out there. They were older, but they lived by job. And when the job wasn't there, they didn't know how to get money. Because they were always used to just, well, we do our job. We have a good paying job. We have it. Now you get here and you don't have it. Like when I rode there, I didn't have a good paying job. And I went from a very good paying job with good insurance to no insurance and $4.25 an hour. And we lived good. So you can't, and see, but we God did all kinds. But I asked the Lord, I said, while we were there in my second year, and I got talking to the Lord about this. I said, Lord, because I looked around at so many people and the things that they were having a hard time with. I said, God, how? I said, we moved out here. And I said, you have blessed us. I mean, I said, we've just been so blessed. I said, you've taken care of us and done so many wonderful things. And there was something that years before that I didn't see. This is why, what you did 2 years ago may affect your future, maybe next year or the year after, good or bad. See, we always look like paydays tomorrow, but it don't happen like that in life sometimes. But the Lord spoke to me. He said, and I completely forgot about this. I didn't even remember. He said, you remember the $1,000 you gave to Kenneth Hagin's ministry? And that had slipped my, I forgot all about this thing. This is a time that Wanda and I were very tight for money. And a guy gave me this money. And God never told me. In fact, he even spoke to me about this. I said to him, because of this money, over the situation, this money came in. Because God had done a number of good things for us, but this money came. $1,000 at that time was a huge amount of money to us. Because we were running a tight budget. But inside of me, I just had this thing about giving. And the Lord said, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, I asked him, I said, is there something you want me to do with this money? He said, this money is yours. He said, I brought it to you. He said, it's about what you want to do with it, not what I want you to do. Well, so I thought about it. And I thought, something I wanted to do. And he said, why? What did you want to do with it? He asked me what I wanted to do with it. I said, well, I thought about giving it to Kenneth Hagin. He said, look, you don't have to give it to Kenneth Hagin. You don't have, I'm not telling you have to do that if you want to do it. But I turned around and gave it to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Sent $1,000 to him. Well, this went by some years and I just put that aside. And we went out to Rhema and he said to me, and I said, why you treat us so good? He said, remember that $1,000? He says, it's payday. He said, you set that by doing that. See, I was sort of like the woman with the two mites. I put more than all the rest of them did in. You see, people, and Wanda and I did that more than one occasion. We put all we had in. We had done those things. Where it came to, where we stopped and thought, you know, what God's doing is more important than what we're doing. I can't tell anybody to make that decision. You have to come to the place yourself. Is number one, I have always just been under this opinion, if God can't take care of me, then this Bible stuff isn't true. These stories are a bunch of bunk junk and hogwash. If he can't be miraculous. And see, we're talking about the areas of grace. Was God's grace better in the old covenant or new covenant? Should it be more miraculous in the new covenant or the old covenant? These are things we have to decide as believers. And there's questions we ask ourselves. And this is not to give anybody a hard time. I had no inclination to talk about this at all. It's just, God's moving. But see, people need to hear these things. We don't hear things taught today. People are told, oh, you just listen to the word and this and that and faith a little bit and you're going to rise this big thing. That isn't how it works. I have studied after people, revivalists of years past and the lives of these people, what they did to walk with their, I don't see people, they ain't even in the little league of where these people play in the major leagues. What these people did to arrive where they did. We're not in a position to do that of what people did. And so we have to decide if we want to go to something a higher level. It's just like, you know, if a person wants a college degree, they're going to have to go to college or go online, but they're going to have to spend time studying. They're going to have to, you can't be doing everything everybody else does. You know, I got to my point. I didn't do that. When everybody else was running around doing their stuff, I was praying and seeking God and I was studying the word and I was doing things. This is before I ever went to Bible school, before I ever went. I was doing that. Why? I was preparing myself. You know, you go to a doctor and he's in his internship. He ain't running around with all the rest of the people. He ain't on with mama all the time. Cause mama's probably upset cause he ain't around with. There's things that are more important. And see, we have to decide how far we want to go because it is tied to this grace. It is tied to grace. And we need to understand that if we want great grace, there is no need for great grace if nothing great is being done. If great, you know, it isn't just, well, I'm believing for God to do big things. Well, what are your actions? Faith without actions is dead. Wanting something doesn't bring it to pass. Even believe, saying, I believe God. People are there saying, I believe God wants to bring a revival. Well, who's he going to bring it through? Well, we have to ask ourselves, am I going to be in a position where he could bring something through me? See, I've learned to see, I can never quit this stuff because you have to, this is the walk. This is what it is. This life is a vapor. And I just want you to know this. When people step over on the other side, there's going to be tons of regret. The average person is going to be regretting. It's going to be there. Because when they realize this side, the only reason this side here was about getting ready for that side. That's eternity over there. And when this side here dominates and rules, and there's not preparation for that side, when you get there, you say, man, I should have done. It'll always be. You know, when people run to the end of their life, they never think about all the other stuff they thought was important in life. As you step over. And I want us to do this because we're coming in the end of an age and we need grace. If the grace of God's not in manifestation, we can sit and talk about all this wonderful stuff we'd like to have, what we want to have, don't matter. It's going to be wind blowing. It's what we do with it. And so, we need to bring these back. We have lost in our society hard work, hard working for things. You know, there's people who work hard to get things, you know, financially and do stuff, but for the things of God, it has gotten laziness. People don't really go after it. It's so easy just to do something else. It's so easy. And it's a lot the spirit of the age. It dominates and it rules and people, we have to resist this thing. That's what we have to do. You know, I look back sometimes at myself as a younger Christian and I think, dear Lord, I ain't as quick to snap like I was then. I need to get myself straightened out. God wants to move, I'll just step into it. I wouldn't even think twice about it. You find yourself, you know, you start off as you're younger and it's just sort of like little kids. Little kids will just jump, go do something. But then you mature as an adult and you become the party pooper. You ain't no fun no more. Well, you don't do anything off the spur of the moment anymore. Everything's methodically thought and your life's a big bore. And you have to keep getting something to entertain you to have fun in life. You can't be satisfied with yourself. Because as soon as you have to be by yourself and with yourself, you can't stand it. You always got to be entertained somehow, in some way. Because when you think, well, yeah, God is with me, but he ain't. You don't really think that. When you're alone, you don't think God's with you. I got to go to somebody else because I'm all alone. Oh my God, what the hell? Anyhow, it's good things. You know, I'm saying things because we need to, there's just things that we need to deal with ourselves on and we want to go further. And I want to go further in this area of serving grace, being a servant of God. We have in Hebrews the 12th chapter. We'll go over there. We'll read a scripture now. And, I had no intentions of going into all that, but, I think there's just some good things we do. I could sit and told you stories about other people and other stuff, but look, it wasn't not blowing. I'm not blowing my horn on. It's what God did. It's what God did. And because God moving you into situations outside of your abilities. And I don't know God other than leading me to do things that I cannot naturally do. I don't know him. That's the way I know him. Because he always wants to have his hand in. He wants me to trust that he doesn't, in all of us, in some way or other, we're trusting him to do something outside of us. And, we always want to do that. And Hebrews, the 12th chapter and verse 28 says this, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now it tells us here what we need to have grace to serve God acceptably. Well, if you can serve God acceptably, you could serve him not being acceptable. And one of the things he says here is with reverence and godly fear. In other words, grace is always going to lead you in the area to serve God with reverence and godly fear. And see, that's one of the things. It's not being scared of God, but it's that honor of him who he is. And I think much of the church world has lost that of who God is. He's God. He can, you know, we say, well, God can do anything. Well, I'd have to ask the question, do you live like you can? See, we can say, we have our cliches that we say, but can God do anything? Could he? You know, I remember Keith Moore talked about the fact of what happened to him. Keith Moore God used him a lot. He would play when I was at Rhema, I was at Rhema during the time some of his songs come out that he did, like Thank You Lord for the Holy Ghost and those songs that came out. But I remember him, he used to sit and he would come up, God would move through him and he would just start singing out songs. He would do things. God really used him powerfully in that way and things that happened. And the Lord spoke to him one day and said, without me, you can do nothing. And he said, yeah, he said, I know that, Lord. Yeah, without me, you can't do nothing. But he didn't realize what was going to happen. All of a sudden, he lost ability to sit down and even play the piano. He couldn't even play it. He walked down, sit piano. He said he put his hand up the keys and he wouldn't know what to do. And he said, nothing would come to him. He said it was almost like God had left him. He said, it was like he had no connection to God. He said his mind started to go on him, his mind. And he went for days like this. And he said, I just think about killing myself. He said, it was so hard. I said, I was going through such a terrible, hard time. He said, no matter how I tried, he said, I tried to pray. He said, couldn't pray. I couldn't do it. He said, you just couldn't do nothing. Couldn't do anything. And then one day God spoke to him and said, without me, you can do nothing. You see, we don't realize this. If God turned off the switch, everything stops. See, our physical life doesn't run because of us. See, we get over there and we have this life we live down. We don't really, without God, God's the one who makes things work. The Bible talks about and uses the thing about, you know, but God's the one that holds all things together. And I really thought it was interesting because I was watching a thing on TV. It was one of these science shows on gravity. And they went through all this thing about gravity, how gravity works, what it does, blah, 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 blah. They went through this whole thing and they're telling you all this stuff. And at the end of it, they stop and they say this. Now these scientists, they're telling you, like they're the biggest geniuses that know it all. And they stop. And at the end of it, they say, but we really actually don't know what makes gravity exist. We don't know. They said, it isn't like we can go to something and this is gravity. We said, all this stuff they said, as all the things we know that gravity does and how it works, but we don't know where gravity comes. We don't know what it is. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm the one that holds all things together. You see, we in our minds, science can go through all the things that it does and everything that does, but God's what's making this thing work. We need to come to that realization in our lives, especially dealing in the areas of dealing with grace, is he's God. Without me, you can do nothing. I mean, just think, what we do on our own, we wouldn't even be able to do if it wouldn't be for him. What we do without him, what we do without even trusting him, whatever we do those things Without him, we couldn't even do that stuff. And see, getting over that, he is really God, and he is so much greater than we are. Far beyond. It should blow our minds that he saved us. It should just absolutely blow our minds that he did. And so there should be a reverence. In other words, grace would lead us to a reverence and a fear of God because of his abilities. And he, just think, God, who is endless in ability, wants to use his ability on our behalf and give us his ability to do things. Amazing. Amazing. So I guess that's amazing grace. I just, hallelujah. But we need to get over there. So we don't want to get over we're serving God. We want to serve him in an acceptable way. And so you can't serve God through your natural abilities. So God wants to give us ability to do things beyond our own abilities. And we should want to do that. See, that leads over to the supernatural, where I'm doing something beyond me. This is one of the things that we need to understand is the church needs to come to this or we'll never reach the world. That's why the world watches all the superhero stuff. They want to see somebody do something beyond them. And the church has nothing to offer. The church says God is great, but he's asleep. You see, people need to see the world. God uses signs and wonders, not for the church. You look in scripture, signs and wonders weren't done for the church. They were done for sinners. For them to see God. I should never need a sign and a wonder. He lives in me. I don't need a sign or a wonder. Lord God. But it is done. Signs and wonders are done for the lost. The signs and wonders, there was nobody in the Old Testament to be saved. You know, God don't have to open the Red Sea to prove me anything. You know, he might do it for the world, let the world see something, but not for me. He doesn't have to. And so we need to come to this place. The world needs to see there's a God. They need to see people whose God's ability works through them. Amen. That's what they need to see. So we want to come to that place. We want to arrive there. We can't arrive there if we don't see our need. No, we can't pray for what we don't know that we need. Now you could in tongues, but you sure could in your mind. But it would be good that we got our mind over in the area of the fact to see our need, to see how much we really need God, and we need God in manifestation, how important it is that that he does manifest himself. Now in Romans, the first chapter, Paul starts off in the book of Romans, in the first chapter, and Paul says this, he said, Paul, he said, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel. Now, we jump down to verse 5, and we look at verse 5 in that same chapter, in chapter 1, and he says, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his namesake. So how did Paul get to be an apostle? It was by the grace of God. It was the choosing of God. God made him an apostle. He didn't make himself. He didn't become so bright and so smart. God said, well, now I can use it. He can do something for me because now he's graduated and he didn't get that. He was given that by God. So it's something that God had. You know, is one of the things, be very careful in areas about talking about individuals, whether they're called to or not. There's many people in the ministry who don't walk in their gifts. They're called to them, but they don't walk in them. And people say, well, man, I ain't even called to it. Well, you don't know that. They could be very well. There's people I know. It's like I said, I was in a church and the pastor, I'll tell you what, I know that I know that I know that I know that I know he was called to pastor that church. He was called to it, but he never walked in the light of his calling. Never walked in the light of it. Struggled all the time about things, was frustrated all the time because he always counted on his ability, his mind, his smarts. You know, he was Mr. Speed Reader. He could sit down and, you know, he could read half the Bible in 27 minutes. One of those guys, you know, and that's the way he did. It's how much you could cram yourself with stuff. And he was doing, it's all natural abilities of stuff. From the world standpoint, he's smart, knew a lot of stuff. But when it comes to spirituality, he was dumb as a stick. Didn't know a thing about it because it isn't a mental thing. It's not, you don't have a calling. Here he had a gift of God, which is in your spirit. You have that gift, and that gift manifests out of the inner man. It doesn't manifest out of the mind. Understand, your calling of God is not based on how you view yourself in your mind. In my mind, when God called me the mystery, and you guys have heard me talk about it, I still to this day think about why on earth. I cannot think of one natural thing that I would have that I would think that why would God would call me the ministry. I cannot think of one natural thing. See, why would you choose me? Maybe I get to heaven, you'll say why he chose. But the Bible just says this. I thought it's interesting. Paul wrote, says, God chooses whom he chooses. And that's as far as I've ever got on the deal. He just, you're chose. So either, it's like this, like the Lord told me. He said, you'll either do it or you won't. It's that easy. Either you will or you won't. But the call's there. Why God calls, we don't know. Why is, I would think it would be other people would be more qualified and those things, but God did. I mean, we take the prophet Jeremiah. God says, he called him from his mother's womb, from his mother's womb. He's called to what he's doing. Now, I haven't had his calling and I'm not asking for it either. I read Jeremiah. See, there's a guy who walked, we look and read and we read all that history of Israel and all that he went through. We get to read it, but he lived it. And it wasn't pretty. It wasn't fun. But really, he was a man who trusted God in the middle of terrible, terrible, terrible situations. He lived among people and they're treating him bad and they're persecuting him while they're eating their kids because they're under such oppression. Enemies outside their gates. No food. See, we talk about things and things going on and say, here he is, the man of God. God put him there for that purpose. Man. See, why didn't God choose you? Did you ever think about, I don't think about God. Why didn't you choose that guy over there? Let me alone. Go choose him. But you don't, but what you get choose. But see, you have to find out for yourself. God, what am I doing? See, you can't go to your mind for the answer for that. It's not in your mind. You got to get it in your spirit. You got to hear it from the inside. You got to know on the inside because your head might tell you something completely different. I'm convinced of this I remember a minister saying this one time that God kept asking him to do different things and that stuff. And he said to the Lord, why don't you get somebody else? And the Lord said, yeah, he said, I'd like to. He said, I have all kinds of people I've called the ministry. And he said, they're carpenters, truck drivers. They're doing all this stuff. They're in college. They're doing this and that. He said, they're not doing what I told them to do. They're not doing it. I have loads. Those people called. But they're in other vocations. Well, it's not easy in life. It's not an easy thing to do. Let me just say this in closing about this thing, easy thing to do. We were listening tonight coming up, Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin at 32 years old. He's out in the field ministry. He has a wife and children. Now, I know from things that he talked about over the years of he would be out. I mean, he would be sometimes gone 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks out on the road ministering. He said, my wife's at home. She's having to take care of everything in there with the kids and that kind of stuff she's going on. It's all this stuff. And he said it wasn't easy to do. And he said it was a hard thing. He said, you're out there away from your family. But what happened to him was this is, he got over into things and he let other ministers and stuff talk to him and say, well, God would never call you to this. You got a family to take care of. See, these people, your family comes first. That's what they teach today in churches. That's why God don't move. Because the family's God. Your family comes first. See, I love my family. I've got to take care of my family, but I must obey God. I must obey God. Well, they talked him out of it. And we were just listening this night coming up. He decided he was going to leave the field ministry and he's going back to pastoring because this would be a lot easier. So he went and got all these churches. He canceled meetings and stuff and went through the whole thing and went to this church and he was at this church. And he was there with some other pastors at this church and this was going to be his last Sunday thing, and then there was a church that already accepted him. It's a church. Much more money than he was ever making, all this kind of good stuff going on. And his heart quits beating. He's 32 years old and falls off the pew and falls on the floor and his heart ain't working. Well, that don't work well. And they get him up and they take him to over to the parsonage, which was next door to that church, and they take him over there. And anyhow, they're over there and they were talking about it. He said his heart wasn't beating and that stuff. And, but he talks about the fact he started praying in tongues, and he said he was praying in tongues, and he said this one past minister started to cry because he laid his hand on his chest and said, "Your heart ain't beating." And he started crying. And he said to these other pastors, "He's dead." And, he said he was praying in tongues, and he said it came up, and he said he knew he missed God. He wasn't supposed to leave. And he said, "I had to repent." He said, "I had to repent and ask God to forgive me. I'm doing his will." But he said, "I knew while I was praying and out there and I was talking to God, this was the end of it. My wife needed to come." And so he told the one minister, "Go over and get my wife." She was over in a church. She was in a men's class, I guess, of Sunday school, and she was in a women's class. So they said, "Go get her." And they brought her over, and she said, "I think this happened because of me." And he said this. He said, never once had she ever complained or ever said anything to him about, because he said he knew it was really hard for what was going on. It was really hard. It was tough. And but she complained to herself and to God about this. And she told him at this time, she said, one day, she said, "I was in my heart complaining about this, him gone and all this stuff." And he said, "There was a voice." She said, "I heard a voice," and I've heard her talk this in person too. I mean, I've seen her, and she talked about this at school. And she said, "I heard a voice," and she said, "I thought it was actually a person in the house." He said, "I can take him or you'll never see him again." That's God talking. See, she thought she's going through hardship. See, God thought what he called him to was more important than what she was doing. She didn't think what she was doing was important. It's too hard. See, we've lost a lot here in this. And she said to him, she said, "I walked around the house and looked in rooms. I thought somebody was in the house and said this." And she said, "Lord, that was you talking to me." And she said, "I repent." She said, "I'll never complain again. I'll never complain again about it. Never complain again about what the ministry does." You see, a lot of people know little about how God works. We have this fantasy Jesus that's preached in the church world today about everybody's comfort. It's not. Everybody wants big things with little dedication. And see, we need to get a hold of these kinds of things and what it is. We can have all these cliche sayings that we do about, "Oh, the power of God, yes, we're doing this, that, no." But, you know, life didn't get easier for her. He was on the road more and more. It didn't get easier. But life paid off for them. You know what? I always think of the millions of people that God blessed because they obeyed God. We're tied to the Jesus of our own blessing and not the blessing of others. We don't see the importance of what we do. We don't see them. You know, sometimes, you know, I think about in a small church, there's people who listen. People don't even identify themselves. I get emails and stuff and texts from people. You don't even know where it's coming from, but how much they appreciate the teaching, how much people listen. You put things online, people are all over the place are listening to you. People in other countries. So you don't realize, you can sit and think you're tied. God's not tied.
That's right.
We are tied by our thinking. We're tied by our small. We're told, we live by what we see around us all the time and what things are going on. We think that this is it. You know, this is the really important, is dealing with this now. And we don't see the big, we don't see the God and how great he is and what he does. You know, I checked the number. I get a text from a guy, and I looked on it. It's supposed to be an area code from down in Maryland, the guy never says what his name is, but he's done a couple of times thanking for the teachings. A few times he's contacted me and said, "I just thank you so much for the teachings that you do." And he listened to us, and it's from down in Maryland. There's people out here listening. There's people out here hearing. There's people out here. How many people do or don't? I mean, even when I used to do tapes and stuff wasn't online, my tapes ended up in California. I had tapes ended up over in Europe. Dear Lord. People took them there. I mean, I just blew my mind. I met people and they said, well, they found out who I was and they said, oh, you're so-and-so. We were listening to your tapes. I thought, how could you listen to that? Where'd you get my tapes from? You're, you know, from way over here, way over there. Somebody takes them. And so we need to, what about your own life? Did you ever think about your, see, when we look in our own little world, what effect do we have on somebody and somebody else goes someplace? See, we only look at what we do now. No, obey God where you're at and doing what you're doing, it brings effect. You know, if we can only believe for, you know, a little 2-inch square, I mean, that's what we're going to have, a little 2-inch square. But God's greater than all that. He's bigger than all those things. You know, I found there was a guy who was taking, he would get my tapes from somebody. I forget who was in our church years ago. And he'd take them out to Jonestown and put them in the barber shop out there. They had this thing in the barber shop where they had this, people could put things, people would take different stuff. It's putting there. And when people would come through, there would be people who would stop on vacations from other places and they would pick up tapes. And I was contacted by people who were here on vacation. Like, you know, you think you're just in this little, doing this little thing here, but the message is going out there. I mean, do you think Paul ever thought that his message would go as far as he did? I don't care if any lifetime he never did. See, that's why it's knowing when God can work in us and carry out his plan, no matter how might seem insignificant, well, that don't seem like much. It doesn't seem like much of anything. But to God, it's a big deal. And what can he do with it? What can he do with it if we can yield our ability to him? Say, look, I'm going to set aside what I'm good at. Let's do what you want to do. Let's do what you're good at. Let's walk by faith. And let's just do that. Let's allow, you know, we got to come back to that. See, I can go back and look when I came into the kingdom. When I came in the kingdom, there was a lot of us were more or less baby Christians. But I mean, see, we were so hungry. We would do anything God wanted to do. We didn't care. We weren't trying to make anybody happy. We just wanted to please God. That's all our interest in life was, just to please God. That's the only interest we had. You know? So one thing is I was really so grateful concerning Wanda, because Wanda never sat around and complained about the ministry or if I went somewhere and sometimes I'd be gone. She never complained one time and she ever said it. She said, just leave the checkbook at home and just leave the checkbook here to credit card. And I said, go ahead. But no, and I was appreciated because she never resisted the ministry. And I want to tell you what, there's a lot of people that I've seen would not put up with even 10% of what she did. They won't put up with it because their life's more important. Everything's more important. And we got to decide, do we really want a great, great move of God? And, we have to decide that about ourselves. Sit down. See, what is really important? What do we really need? See, we got in this place where everybody needs pacified all the time. Everybody needs pacified. You know, you have to go fulfill your life. You know, my family got over things. Every time they planned something, they'd plan it on a Sunday. They always plan on a Sunday in church. I always planned a Sunday in church, and I'd always tell them, I won't be there. I serve God. See, we've got trained here. Everything, and the world knows it too. I mean, the school system's found out they can shut the church down because we'll have enough things going on the nights when the church used to go on. Now we shut them down. Now we shut, nobody goes to church. They've learned it. The devil's learned how to shut the church down because they make everything else more important. We got to do this. We got to do that. And I tell my family, I can't be there. I'm sorry. I say, well, this is when we're getting together. Once you get together on a Saturday. Oh, we have things we want to do on Saturday. That's right, because we don't go to church on Sunday because this is going to be a playtime on Sunday here. No, it's not for me. It's not for me. Never was. Before I was in the ministry, it never was. I said, no, I'm going to be in church on Sunday. If you're going to have anything, I'm going to show up real late. I ain't going to be there. Because number one, I serve God, not them. That's the most important thing. See, we gotta come, we don't have this. When I was a kid growing up, you'd have never had that kind of stuff go on. Ever. It would have never taken place. It wouldn't do it. People weren't even spirit-filled. God was more important. God was the most important thing on the list. And these are hard things for people to say, but it is. I'm just telling you, it is what it is. And we have to come back to it. See, we used to get up Sunday morning, you went to Sunday school. Then after Sunday school, you went to church. And then you went Sunday night to church. Then you had Wednesday night to church. Oh, dear God. I mean, people commit suicide today in the church world, isn't it? How can we be asked to some, God will make you puke after 15 minutes. I mean, dear God. I mean, how can we stand any such things going on? Well, that's what you did. You didn't, and no, they, these people, you know what? They liked doing it. People don't like church today. Church is something that annoys most people. It's an annoyance of my life of like, I could be doing something else. It's an annoyance. And, I just read a thing of the decline of Christianity. I mean, Christianity is declining so fast. In fact, it is going declining incredibly in our nation. It's just going down the tubes. It's decline. And because it's not important anymore. I don't expect the Muslims to care about it. Well, hallelujah. So that's a different message tonight, but there's things that people need to hear. And I'm, just us. I mean, it's a recording. I'm going to put it online because people need to hear. Amen. We need to hear. We need to say to ourselves, man, I got to get a deeper dedication. I have to have a deeper reverence for God and a fear of God. I mean, really, when Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, many of my people ain't going to be ready to meet me at my coming. Now, some people say, well, not ready. That doesn't mean they aren't going. Well, then what on earth does it mean? If they're going to go, about ready, it looks like it's all right to them. Who cares? It's about getting ready. We're going to meet Jesus. What do I say to him? We're going to all face the judgment seat of Christ. People today don't believe in judgment. You will face the judgment seat of all Christians for what we did while we were here. Hey, I didn't write the Bible, but I just get in trouble for saying it. Tell me the part about Jesus loves me. I won't. Thank God, I know Jesus loves me because he had gotten fed up with me a long time ago, so he must really love me. That's all I can think. Glory to God. Father, I just want to thank you. Father God, I'm so glad of this, that you don't quit on us. You just, Lord, this is one thing that I know that you do love us because you're chasing us. Mm-hmm. Lord, because I look around, I see so much of Christianity unchastened. Who say they're Christian, but they're unchastened. But Lord God, you keep dealing with us. It's why, because you want to take us further. You want to do greater things and more wonderful things. You want your glory revealed. And you're looking for people who will let your glory be revealed through them. That's what you're doing. Lord, I'm convinced of this fact. We've all missed it at times. We've all missed it. Hallelujah. But you're speaking to us. You haven't quit until you're speaking to us. Hallelujah. You're calling us to something greater. And Lord God, I want to walk in that something greater. I want to go to that place of something greater. Hallelujah. God, so you can do the things you desire to do. Lord God, I want to set aside my own will and my own plans, my own ideas and my own thinking. Lord God, I want to be able to divide what is yours and what's mine. Lord, I don't want to have my ideas and thinking tied up into yours. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to get my thinking tied up in your ideas. And so I thank you, Lord God, for being so patient with us, so kind. Because, Lord, I do believe without a doubt that you're preparing us to meet you at your coming. And I just want to say thank you. I thank you for how gracious and how good you are. how long-suffering you have been. Lord God, there's so many blind people living in this world, even in Christianity, that are walking blind, don't have a clue, and can't see, and they need light. And Father God, we desire to walk as children of light. We want to be the light on the hill. We want people to see the light. Hallelujah. And come to the glory that's in Jesus Christ. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.